Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, actually, as you heard in the Synaxarium, we celebrate the Saint Titus, one of the first fathers of the church. He was a disciple of Saint Paul, and Saint Paul appointed him as a bishop for Crete. And actually, if you visited Crete, and you visit the church of Saint Titus, you will find there the whole skull of Saint Titus is preserved. And actually you can see it, and you can take the blessing of his skull. That's why the reading of today is about the apostles, when the Lord called the 12 apostles. And we notice in the Gospel of today, it started by the Lord Jesus Christ spent the whole night in prayer. And now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He was praying that, number one, God may send laborers to the harvest. As the Lord instructed all of us to pray, he said the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers to his harvest. And this is actually a responsibility to all of us, that always, always we need to pray that God may send the servants to the churches. Also, number two, he prayed all night in order to choose the right people, to choose the people who actually are worthy of this ministry. As St. Paul said, and no one take this ministry from himself, but he who is called by God like Aaron. Even St. Paul, in his letter to Hebrews, explained that our Lord Jesus Christ himself was called by God the Father when the Lord said to him, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. St. Paul interpreted this as God the Father is calling his son Jesus Christ and appointed him as a high priest, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. Even the Lord himself prayed and continued in prayer all night before he chose the 12 disciples. So we also need to pray. We need to pray continuously that God may send laborers to the field and also to send the right people to the ministry. Then actually in the morning, he called all his disciples. As we read, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So here we have two titles, disciples and apostles. Disciple and apostle. St. Luke said he called all his disciples. The word disciple means a follower, a person who is disciplined by a master. So all the people who follow Jesus Christ are disciples. All of us, we are called the disciples because we are following the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are disciplined by his commandments. We are disciplined by his teachings. That's why we are called disciples. From these disciples, all the followers that were following the Lord Jesus Christ, he chose 12, and these 12, he called them apostles. The word apostles meaning carrying a message, epistle. Epistle is a message. So because these people will deliver the message or the epistle or the news of salvation, that's why he called them apostles, to send them to the whole world and preaching the good news of salvation. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and if you accept him, you will be saved. So he sent them and called them apostles. And why he chose 12? In the Old Testament, we have 12 tribes. And the 12 tribes composed the church of the Old Testament. So the Lord chose also 12 to compose the church of the New Testament. And 12 actually is 3 by 4. 3 multiplied by 4. 3 symbolizes the Holy Trinity. And 4 symbolizes the whole world, north, south, east, west. So he chose 12 to, in order to preach the Holy Trinity, God, the triune God, to the whole world. That is the symbol of the number 12. Number 12 because they will preach the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to the whole world, east, west, north, and south. And then St. Luke named the 12 disciples, or the 12 apostles. And after he mentioned his name, the Lord actually stood with the disciples or with the apostles to give them some instruction before sending them to the ministry. But the Lord Jesus Christ usually attracted many people. Wherever he goes, people follow him. Follow him to hear his teaching and also to be healed from their diseases and illness. And we read actually that many people came to hear him, to listen to his teaching, to be healed of their diseases. And those who are tormented with unclean spirit, they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. So we can see there are 3 reasons of the people following the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, these 3 reasons apply to all of us. Number 1, why you are in the church today? To hear him, to hear the teaching of the Lord, to hear the gospel and the epistles. In order, actually, as I said, if we are true disciples, then we are disciplined by his teaching and following his teaching. I cannot be called a disciple of Christ while I'm not listening to his teaching and following his teaching. So we are here today to be disciplined by the teaching of the Lord. Number 2, to be healed from all diseases. Whether these diseases are spiritual diseases or psychological diseases or physical diseases, we are here today, ask God, as all the people who touched him, they were healed, so are healed, as actually asking God to heal us from our spiritual diseases. And also all of us, sin is considered a disease. So anybody who commits a sin is actually in illness, in sickness, in spiritual sickness with this disease called the sin. Also, we come here to ask God to give us healing from our psychological disease. Many of us who are stressed out, burned out, anxious, many things we are worried about. So we are here actually asking God to give us peace from all this distress or anxiety or worry that some of us are suffering. And also from physical diseases, we ask God actually to heal all our physical diseases as he healed the people, everybody who touched him. And the third reason, we're tormented with unclean spirits. Actually, when we are enslaved to any sin, we are tormented by this sin.
And Satan actually is torturing us and making us slaves to this sin. So we are here today to ask God liberty, to ask God freedom, that He may free us from all these sins that we are enslaved to, these bad habits that I want to quit, but I cannot. So I'm coming today asking God to help me, to give me victory in order to defeat all these bad habits that are tormenting me, whether it is smoking or whether it is drinking, whether it is gambling, whether it is a sexual habit. So we are here today to ask God, God, as all the people who touched you in the past were healed, we are here today asking you to heal us from all these bad habits that enslaved us and tormenting us. So we are here today to be disciplined by His teaching, to be healed from our diseases, and to be released from any bad habit that is tormenting us. Then the Lord actually start to teach the disciples and the apostles before sending them. So this actually is a summary, what's mentioned in the Gospel of St. Luke, is a summary of the Sermon on the Mountain. The Sermon on the Mountain was mentioned in three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But St. Luke did not mention the whole sermon, but he mentioned just a summary of the sermon. So the sermon, as we read it in the Gospel of St. Matthew, it started with the Beatitudes. Beatitudes is the word meaning to give blessing. When the Lord said, blessed are you poor in spirit, blessed are you those who hunger and thirst. So these blessings called Beatitude. Saint Luke mentioned a summary of the Beatitude. So he did not mention the eight Beatitudes that Matthew mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. So the first one, St. Luke mentioned, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Who are the poor? Definitely the Lord is not speaking about poor in money or in material things. But He is saying poor who are poor in spirit, poor in virtues. They are not bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They are poor in virtue, poor in virtues. And when we wonder, actually we expect God to bless those actually who are rich in the virtues. If I have all these virtues and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, God will praise me and will bless me. But the opposite, God is saying, blessed are the poor. What He meant by this? The first step toward the kingdom of God, that's why He said, for yours is the kingdom of God. The first step is to know my poverty. If I am arrogant, and if I am blind, and say I am rich, and I don't need anything, I don't need teaching, I don't need discipline, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to read the scripture, I know it all. I don't need a father of confession. I know how to follow the Lord. I am rich in spirit. Actually, if I'm thinking this way, then I am very, very far from the kingdom of God. And this was the problem of the religious leaders of Israel, the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests, the high priests. They thought about themselves as they are rich. Do you remember when the Pharisee and the tax collector entered into the temple? This parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told us, the Pharisee stood and started to pray, saying, God, I thank you. I fast twice a week. I know all the scripture and the commandment. I give tithe of my money to the poor. I do this, I do that, and I'm not like these people, the sinners. I'm not like this tax collector. I am righteous. He was, in his eyes, he was rich. He believed that he was rich in the spirit. That's why he was very, very far from the kingdom of God.
But the tax collector who acknowledged his poverty, who acknowledged that I am a sinner and I am here to ask the mercies of God, he stood actually at the end, at the back. He could not lift up his eyes, but he beat his chest in humbleness, in meekness, and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ said, this tax collector who acknowledged his poverty, he went his house justified. But the other one who was arrogant and he believed that he is rich in the spirit, he was not justified. That's why the Lord told us, be humble, acknowledge your poverty, stand before God knowing that I am a sinful man and I am here asking the mercies of God. I am here asking God to have mercy upon me and to justify me and to give me according to his mercies, not according to our deeds. These blessed are the poor, for they theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They actually put their feet on the first step toward the kingdom of heaven. And the second one that St. Luke mentioned, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Again, St. Luke is not speaking about hungry for food, but hungry for righteousness. When actually I acknowledge myself as a poor in spirit, then I will be hungry for righteousness. I know I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinful man. So I am hungry for the righteousness. Not the righteousness that comes from my work, that comes from I did this and I did that, but I am here to ask the righteousness of Christ, that he may bestow his righteousness on me. What does it mean, his righteousness and my righteousness? Righteousness meaning to do what is right. That's righteousness. To do what is right. Nobody among us can say, I do what's right in everything. And as St. James said, if you violated one commandment, you are guilty of all. So nobody is righteous according to his works. Nobody is righteous according to his works. Nobody can say, I do it all right. Can anybody say this? No. That's why you are here, confessing our sins to Christ and asking him to forgive my sins. Forgive my sins means like I'm going to the judge, asking to dismiss my case. So we are here before God, asking him to dismiss every accusation against us, to dismiss it. Why we ask God to dismiss it? Because he died on the cross. Died on the cross to forgive my sins. He carried my sins on the cross. He took my punishment on the cross so he can dismiss all the accusations against me. So I'm here today hungry for his righteousness. I'm saying, God, I am sinful. I didn't do it right. I am here asking you to bestow your righteousness on me. You carried my sins to give me your righteousness, to forgive me. And here is the blood of the Lord given for us for salvation, remission of sins, and eternal life to those who partake of him. So we are here actually hungry for the righteousness of God, asking God to dismiss our cases. Those who will approach God, those who will touch him as we read, those who will approach communion in repentance, acknowledging our sins, confessing our sins, asking God to dismiss all our accusations and to bestow his righteousness on us, then we will be righteous. Righteous not because we did it right, but because he gave us his righteousness as gift for us. Blessed are those who hunger. If you are hungry for righteousness of Christ, he will give it to you and you will be filled. Then the third one, St. Luke mentioned, blessed are you who weep now,
for you shall laugh. Weep now, that is what we call godly sorrow. As Peter, when he wept, when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, he became righteous. The Lord justified him. Peter, in his remorse, in his sorrow, he wept bitterly. Now Peter is joyful. Peter is full of joy and happiness because God forgave his sins and accepted him and restored him to his place as an apostle. In the same way, everyone who is standing today in godly sorrow before God, in remorse, weeping and crying before God with Peter, God have mercy upon me, a sinner. They shall be laugh. They shall laugh. They shall be joyful. They shall be happy. Then, when we walk with Christ, we are different from the people. We are different from the people. We are here in the church. We are disciples of Christ, following his teaching. The world, they are not followers of Christ. The world, they don't follow the teaching of Christ. So there will be difference between us and them. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, you are not of this world. If you were of this world, the world would have loved you. But you are not of this world. That's why the world hates you. We will find people persecuting us, attacking us, making fun of us because we are Christian, because we are following Christ, because we are following Christian principles in our life, because we don't believe in the belief system of the world. That's why the last one that St. Luke mentioned, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. So when the people persecute us, exclude us, revile us, cast our name as evil, all of this just because we are Christian, because we follow Christ, because we are the disciples of Christ, then the Lord said, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Leap. اتنططوا من الفرح. Leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophet. So the Lord said, don't let this persecution make you bitter or sorrowful or feel bad. No, rejoice. Rejoice when you look at the reward. Actually, this persecution means that we are the disciples of Christ. Because if we follow the world, they will not persecute us. So the fact we are persecuted, we are excluded from the rest of the world, this means we are his children. And he promised us that he will give us a great reward in heaven, a greater reward in heaven. That's why the Lord said, rejoice and leap for joy, for your reward is great in heaven. This reminded me with a story to explain this. Two brothers, one of them was actually attacking and bothering his brother. So the brother that was accused and attacked went to his father complaining from the other person who is attacking him. So the father, in order to encourage him and to teach him, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for reward is your great in heaven, so told him, every time this person will attack you, come to me and I will give you $500. Every time he attacks you, I will give you $500. So this child, looking for this $500, actually every time he was attacked, he was happy because he will get this $500. So what the father did here, he switched his focus. Instead of focusing on the attacks, he focused on the reward. And because he focused on the reward, that's why he accepted these attacks. Although it was in his ability to stop the attack. So he accepted the attack not because he doesn't have any other choice,
but because it is glory for us to be persecuted for Christ, to participate in his suffering. Yes, we can stop this persecution. Yes, we can stop these attacks. But if we accept this persecution willingly in order to participate with Christ in his suffering, so we can participate in his glory. As St. Paul said, if we suffer with him, we will be glorified with him. So the Lord today in the gospel, he chose 12 apostles, sent them with the great news of salvation to teach and preach the Holy Trinity to the whole world, and give them this beautiful sermon: blessed are you who are poor, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, blessed are those who mourn for their sins, blessed are those who endure the persecution for my name's sake. These people will have the kingdom of God. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.